Well, good morning, everybody. So my name is Nathan. I am one of the pastors here at The River. And welcome to the second week of a series we are calling Before We Build. And the idea for this series is that before we build the next era of The River together, we have to make sure we're building on the right thing. But there's also something that we need to acknowledge about building. Sometimes building something new can be hard, because building something new often means letting go of something old. So there's actually it made me think of a famous 90s song that I grew up with, and I loved it. It was called Closing Time. And so, thank you. So despite the fact that I can't fully recommend it, because mostly the song's about getting kicked out of a bar, but there is one line in it that really captures the struggle with starting a new chapter in life. And this is what it is. Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. Well, if I would have known that, I would have had you play the song for us. Like, I actually did think about requesting that. I was like, that's going to be a little bit awkward. Anyway, it's a killer line. And that's exactly the tension we're going to wrestle with today in Haggai 2. Now, last week, Lindsay introduced the book of Haggai and noted that 70 years before the book, the temple was all but destroyed. In Haggai 1, the people finally start rebuilding the temple. So after 70 years of waiting, can you imagine, like, what do you think the people are feeling right now? Like, I mean, they got to be thrilled, right? I mean, they're getting their temple back after 70 years. Yet, when the foundation is laid, here's what Ezra writes. This is Ezra 3. The people were shouting with joy, but many of the older priests and the Levites, the leaders, those who had been there a long time and remembered the old temple, they wept aloud when they saw the new temple's foundation. And that joyful shouting and that weeping mingled together into a loud noise that could be heard far off in the distance. So some people, they are excited, they are celebrating, we're finally doing it, we're moving forward. It's being built. While others are mourning because they're remembering the old thing that they've lost. And some people, they were probably doing a little bit of both. Because humans, like, you know, we're complicated like that. But what's fascinating is how God responds to this range of emotions. Now we can go to Haggai. This is Haggai 2. God says, okay, I want you to say this to Zerubbabel, who is the governor of Judah. And I want you to say it to Joshua, who's the high priest. And I also want you to say it to the remnant of God's people who are still there in the land. Here's what I want you to say. Does anyone remember the old house? You know, that temple back in the day and all its former beauty and glory and splendor? I gotta ask, how in comparison does this look to you now? I mean, this has gotta seem like nothing at all. And when I read this verse, I was assigned this verse, I read it, I was like, you know, that is somewhat less comforting than I expected. Like, God's our great comforter, and he's like, look at this, this seems like nothing at all. But honestly, I kind of appreciate the acknowledgement. Like, God's not trying to gaslight us here by being like, no, everything's fine, it's the same as it is, don't look. No, he straight up calls it out. But there's a trick in verse 3. The words are, in comparison, and seems like. You see, when we are comparing things by what they seem like from our viewpoint, things can get distorted. And God is subtly showing us that danger in comparisons. Because for us, different often seems like worse. And this makes me think about my niece, Riley. So Jenny and I moved away from her when she was 2 years old. I know. So now she's 12. And The thing is, because we don't get to nearly see her as often as I wish that we could because of what I do, every time we do see her, she has changed. And like, I know I'm getting old when both I reference the song from 30 years ago, and also when I'm like, it feels like just yesterday. She was this little two-year-old. It was just yesterday that she was saying, can you make me some cookies? And now she's 12 and saying, hey, can I make you some cookies? Which that part is kind of awesome. But it's also just so weird. Like, where did the time go? And the thing is, I genuinely love who Riley is now. But at the same time, I kind of miss and don't want to let go of the past because I miss who she was then. But I have to be careful of comparison. Because the Riley at 12 is not better than she was a decade ago at 2. And she's not worse either. She's different. And sometimes different isn't better or worse. Sometimes different's just different. There's different benefits and there's different drawbacks. Now, when she turns 13, that's a whole separate question because she's already starting to notice boys, and it's just like, that's a thing. But like, that's it. I really see the difference, but I have to remember not to compare what things seem like to me. And I think that's important for us here at the River, because I'm sure you can look around the room and notice we're a bit different than we were a decade ago. We're not a 500-person church anymore. And for some of us, when we remember those old foundations, we weep. Because in comparison, this seems like nothing at all. But that's where comparison can become so dangerous for us. Because we confuse size and spectacle with significance. And God sees their range of emotions, and he knows that building something new is going to be tough. So here's what he says in the next verse. He says, I want you to be strong. Be strong, Zerubbabel. Be strong, Joshua. And I want you to be strong, all of you people who are left here in the land. And now I want you to get to work. For I am with you. You see, what made the temple glorious wasn't its wealth or its size or its events. It was that God was there. And the best things about the River's past aren't our attendance or our massive budget or the amount of programs we were able to run. It's the way that God was present and at work among us. And here's the good news. Yes, the River has changed, but God has not. The God who was with us then is the God who is with us now. And I also want you to notice who he proclaims this to. It's not just the governor or the board. It's not just the high priest or the lead pastor. He says it to the whole community. Be strong, all of you people who are left, because I am here. And listen to what happens when the people in Haggai's day turn their heads towards God. This is Haggai 1:14. That the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, and he stirred up the spirit of Joshua, and he stirred up the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came together and worked together on the house of the Lord their God. Now, I have to say, that is one of my favorite phrases in the entire Bible, is that the Lord stirred up their spirit. And that stirring didn't just produce more committees or discussions or reflection. It produced action, that they came together and they worked together as one people. They didn't build 20 different little temples. They built one. And that is what I pray every single day is happening here at the river. And I hope that you are too. That we're praying that we're not just excited about seeing a new season, but that God is stirring up a hope in the remnant of people who are here today. And not a hope in people or a program or even a lead pastor, but a hope in Christ and Christ alone. And the thing is, I see signs of it. Like, I see signs of that hope bubbling up in the church already. I mean, over the last couple of months, I cannot tell you how many people have come up and said something like, Nathan, you got to understand, there's an energy here that I have not felt in a while. Nathan, I hear people singing louder. I see people engaging more openly. I see people laughing again. I am excited to come to church. And it's not because we've gotten any bigger. It's because God is beginning to stir again. And then God concludes by making just an extraordinary promise about what is still to come as he stirs. This is Haggai 2:9. That the future glory of this temple is going to be greater than its past glories, says the Lord. Now, if you're not a historian, you might be surprised to find out that Haggai's temple, the one we're talking about, is actually destroyed, completely demolished, within a few hundred years. And you can go to Jerusalem right now, still not a temple there. But that's because so often we look at the temple and we look at the river from a human perspective. You see, the temple was pointing towards something greater. And the church today is called to point towards that same thing, Jesus Christ. Because that's the gospel. That our deepest need has never been a building or to preserve what was. Our deepest need is God himself. And in Jesus, in our Emmanuel, God came to be with us. He gave himself for us, and he rose again to bring us into his presence. So what does that mean for the river? It means in this transition season, before we build, we need to be very careful about what we're building on. And I want to be really clear about something because I can imagine some of you hearing this message and freaking out and being like, oh, so you're telling me I need to forget what happened in the past because the past doesn't matter. Like, no. Following God forward does not mean minimizing the past. Because God has done some amazing things here at the river. We should tell those stories again and again and again so we can remember his faithfulness. And we should also grieve some of the tough things and some of the things that we've lost. But guys, we can't recreate yesterday's river any more than I can make my 12-year-old niece two again. We're different people in a different time. So yeah. We should remember what was. But if our question is always, how do we get back to where we were? We'll always be stuck in the past. But church, you can look at the calendar. You can see God does not have us in 2016. He has us right here, right now, and I believe he has us here for a purpose. So what is that purpose? What does God want to teach the river about being his church at this size with these people in 2026? I don't know. I don't know the answer to the question. And that's okay. That's why we're on this journey together. But here's what we can know. We can know God brought us here for a reason, that he is with us, and that no matter what happens, he is enough. As we head into our time of discussion, I want you to spend a few minutes talking together. Because this sermon isn't really about what each of us need to figure out individually. It's about what God is stirring in us collectively. So here's what I'm going to want you to do. I want you to gather in groups of three or four. Now we've got a little bit of a diversity. And then I want you to spend some time talking about these two questions. First one, what is something from the river's past, be it a month, a year, a decade, that you are genuinely grateful to God for? Second, where do you see God stirring something among us right now? And before you get talking, I have one rule. Don't spend the time trying to solve anything. Like, we're not going to figure out the last 5 years or the next 5 years of the river in the next 5 minutes. We're simply going to give thanks to God for what he has done and pay attention to where we already see him at work. So I'm going to give you a few minutes to discuss, and then Lindsay will come up and she'll continue to lead us in worship.